thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
I'm asking
John Williams.
You to give me your big thoughts, too. Now, of course, we always do. The number's 312-981-7200. Call or text. Text me now.
Lord have mercy.
Roger Goodell said that the NFL NFL owners unanimously agreed that the players will have to stand at attention and be respectful for the national anthem. If they're on the field, if they don't want to do that, or for whatever reason they want to stay in the locker room, that's fine. I think that's, boy, talk about a Band-Aid. Kim's right. That's not the issue here. The point is about what they do on the field. The story I read at CNN.com today also said that the league will not fine individual players if they don't adhere to the rule. So I'm not exactly sure what the penalty phase is. Does the Players Association have to pay a fine, or does the team have to pay a fine, or do they have to pick up trash on the side of the road? I'm not exactly sure what the penalty is for the players that don't adhere to this. But the NFL, starting this coming season in the fall, and by the way, the NFL season is never really over anyway, but when they start putting on their uniforms and playing games again, the players will have to stand.
And also, I heard the penalty is a 15-yard penalty.
Oh, so it's not... Now, that's different, right? Because, boy, that is, to me, a little more powerful, right? If they said, we'll fine you $50,000, a lot of these guys have $50,000.
Well, it's making it also a whole team effort.
But if you're going to hurt the team, then it's different. Then the guys are like, dude, I know you got 50 grand, but right now we're on the 5-yard line.
We're trying to win this.
I know, and you're hurting the team. You're not hurting yourself. Wow, that's compelling. Still, I guess the team could say, all right, you know what? Look, it's just one flag. Say it's just one penalty, one 15-yard penalty for the team. We'll do it. I could see a team meeting where the players say, regardless of our views about patriotism or the First Amendment, or, you know, this isn't even about the president, but throw anything into that pot you want. What we resent is being told how to behave by somebody else's standard before the game.
Now, but don't most companies give standards to their employees?
I was thinking about what we have here, and we do have I'm a contract employee, Violetta. I don't know if you are or not. Maybe everybody's got the same sort of rules. But if we behave in a manner that's embarrassing to the company, then they get to fire us. But I wonder if in a court or in a court of public opinion, that rises to that level. Look, I don't like it. I mean, of course, it would be better if everybody felt equally sort of endowed and everybody was on the same page and we were all holding hands and the world was good. I mean, I want that. And if it's not perfect, maybe for the national anthem, you should still stand. But if for some reason you feel like you can't, I don't want to take that speech away from you.
I just feel like you can speak about it another time. You're at work and you're here to do your job. And part of your job is to be respectful to the flag,
Brad,
apparently.
Brad texted, all must stand, period. From 708, just ignore it. It'll fade away. Well, I don't know exactly what that means. By ignoring it, do you mean let them stand without comment or let them kneel without comment? I mean, that would be ignoring it too. John, absolutely a great idea. Get it out of the public.
Didn't they used to not come out for the national anthem?
Right.
And then was it
after
sort of
9/11?
So it was like enforced patriotism that they started coming out and making people
something like
be
that.
There for it?
Something like that.
It just seems like you're hurting yourself by picking this fight.
I feel opposite. I feel like they had to take a stand. I didn't
who?
Like
the owners.
Yeah, the owners, the NFL, take a stand. You either are saying you're letting them do it or you're saying we're going to set some rules up.
Well, they've changed their attitude about that. Last year, they said it was up to the teams and individuals. And largely last year, it faded away. I mean, of course, now it's the off season. They have these meetings. They're going to change the kickoff rule and stuff like that. Fine. So I guess this is where they address it. But I think if they had ignored it, and fewer people were taking a knee. It was not an issue at the end of the season.
Right. And I have respect for the people who are, if it's Kaepernick or whomever, who are protesting having their say. So I don't mean to demean it with this example. But every time your 3-year-old throws a tantrum, if you pay attention,
Yeah.
Right? You just let them go, and then after time, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened last year. The Super Bowl, the biggest stage in the world. Literally. What's a bigger event annually in the world? Certainly in the United States than the Super Bowl. It wasn't an issue. It was not an issue. Wasn't an issue. There was one player who didn't come out for the national anthem, but that was more a confusion than a protest. So, if I'm remembering that correctly, at least that was the scene in one of those games leading up to the Super Bowl, if it wasn't the Super Bowl itself. Lots of phone calls and lots of texts here. John, it's called freedom of speech, a concept that eventually eludes the brain trust of the NFL. Sheesh. Spelled S-H-E-E-S-H. John, that absolutely does not solve the issue. You're not on the field in my eyes. You are kneeling in my eyes. You are disrespectful. I'm done with the NFL as of the beginning of last year. From 630, it should be mandatory that they all stand. It is a total disrespect to the nation. See, that's where this argument just will not end. Is that a total disrespect to the nation, or is that an exercise of what this nation is about? There's the whole pivot point of this thing.
Do you stand like a sheep, or do you stand out to make a point that about the country?
If ever a nation should allow you to take a knee during its national anthem, it's the United States of America. I didn't say it's a good thing. I'm not saying I like it. It's hooray. I'm saying it's a red flag. There's a problem here, and we need to address it, or, you know, something's wrong when somebody's taking a knee during the national anthem. But the United States is the nation that should allow speech we don't like.
But the NFL is not the United States. Yeah. It's not their job to tell you you have the
Well, apparently it is, Violetta. No,
I think I get her point. But go ahead, Steve.
It's absolutely within the power of the NFL because they're out there. You're working for the NFL.
That's her point.
The
this
NFL
can make
you do
something. Issue, right.
It just seems unwise for the NFL to pick this fight.
Pick a lot of fights. They can't even, you know, I hear football's very controversial with their passes and their catches and their penalties.
Well, they call it the NFL the NFL the no fun league. I mean, you know, the NFL is famous for its rules. And what is the rule? This is in Major League Baseball, but just as an example, there's a player on the Cubs who wears black shoes. And is it Almora? Which of the players is it?
Zobrist.
Is it Zobrist? Yeah. He's got those old school black looking shoes. The rule in Major League Baseball is that 51% of your shoe must feature the primary color of the team's uniform. Since 51% of his shoe does not, he has to pay a fine.
Every game?
I don't know. But I mean, so that's the world that these guys work and live in. Talk about free speech. I want to put polka dots on my shoe. It's a uniform. You're working for this company. We all wear the company uniform.
Back when I was working more with the NFL and the games, they used to, and maybe they still do, they would hire former players to stand in the tunnel, and they were the uniform cops. And names you would recognize. And so every player would have to walk by the uniform cop to make sure everything fit the standards before they went out on the field.
Let's just take the calls that agree with me. Let's see here. That means Joe's not getting on the air. Dave's not getting on the air.
is there anyone going to make it?
Hold on. I'm reading my call screen, Steve. All right. Joe, I'm going to put you on anyway, but I'm not going to like this. Hi, you're on WGN.
No, you won't, John. I honestly believe 100% that the owners are right in every aspect of this. Those players work for the NFL. If they don't want to, it's just like with school. They didn't want kids coming into school saying a prayer in the morning or anything, so they stopped doing it. But the issue is, if they don't want to be out there and honor what the NFL is trying to show people, and that is honoring the military for the most part and the country.
What if they don't want to do that?
They should stay in the tunnel or stay in the locker room
until the anthem is played.
It's fans anyway, not for them.
You think players?
It is for them too, but I mean, it's for the fans. It's for America.
I hear you. What are you saying, Steve? Hold on, I wonder, Joe, though,
if players will be allowed. I bet they won't to stay in the tunnel.
Why do you say that?
Well, if they're going to make everyone stand, I bet they're going to make everyone be.
Well, the rules are that you can, if you do not want to take, if you do not want to stand, you can be in the locker room. That is part of the statement from the NFL.
Right. Oh,
I did not know that. Sorry.
Here's what it says. The team owners unanimously agreed that the NFL can fine a team whose players protest on the sideline during the anthem, but each team will set its own rules regarding players who want to kneel. Fierce backlash, took a knee, carry the seven. That's in here somewhere. All right, listen, I appreciate your phone call. Listen, if you ever want to agree with me, call us back, okay? Joe?
He's done with you. He's like, this guy's not listening to me.
847 says, no players on the sidelines. Problem solved. Here's another one. New NFL policy suppresses freedom of speech. This is unconstitutional. Actually, it's not. Remember this. God, we've had this conversation before, but they're not denying you your free speech. They're saying there are consequences for it. There's a big difference. You can take a knee. You can take a knee. There will be consequences for it.
Well, I don't think you can be charged for free speech. I don't know if I agree with your logic there, but you are working for an entity, a workplace that gets to set certain rules, and I think it's within the NFL's power to do it.
Yeah, all right for them. It's 121. Lots of phone calls. Let's not take many of them. Also, I featured on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. You can see how much power I wield. I want to be king someday, and it's not going my way. But on my Facebook page, where I am WGN King John, we posted the lip sync, the bad lip syncing video of Meghan and Harry at the wedding. The royal wedding has been redubbed with different voices, saying so perfectly what they must have been saying. And you could see their lips moving at different parts of the ceremony, but they weren't mic'd all the time. So while you heard them do their vows, there were other times where Harry and William would be speaking, or obviously Meghan would be saying something and Harry would be saying something, and you didn't know what they were saying. In either case, they've dubbed in voices that so perfectly match their lips that it's hard to believe that this is not what they were saying. Coming up in a minute. Harry and Meghan's wedding, as I like to call them. So what's the first thing in my ear, Elif, that we're going to hear here? This is what? Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is William and Harry. And this is not mic'd, but they're sitting there before Meghan walks down the aisle, or standing there. I'm not exactly sure. And we see them chatting.
I hope you understand we're puppets.
Hmm?
I said, I hope you understand that we're puppets. You said we had free will. No, I didn't. That's what you told me.
Sorry, dude, you're puppets. And Harry's having to process that. Okay, so then next is the choir that London, was it South London Gospel Choir that was just so fantastic. They did Stand By Me, only you can take their lips and you can make it go this way.
I smell a bikini.
Ooh. You shan't buy a bikini. Ooh. He shan't buy a bikini. They can't buy a bikini, so sad.
Whatever. This is Meghan and Harry at the altar.
Oh, I don't like the air in here. Can you smell it?
It's definitely strange.
I just got a big whiff.
It's pretty bad.
You know, I have a surprise for you.
Okay.
It's a golden unicycle.
I don't want that. That present is a fail.
Telling you, you watch the video on my Facebook page. It matches perfectly that. You can't imagine what he was saying that he wasn't saying, I got you a golden unicycle, because
I love those. It's like a guilty pleasure.
Oh my God, these people are so good at it. And of course, Reverend Curry was made for this.
If you want a hot dog, then you gotta cook a hot dog. What? Put it on the stove. But you won't get enough. You won't get enough. Does it help you to eat this wiener thing? I don't think that it does. You know, I slipped and I fell into a coffin this weekend. No, I didn't. It was just a dream.
Reverend Curry. Speaking of Curry, Phil Vitale is going to join us after the news. The news is coming up. Phil, of course, is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. And he's got some restaurants for you to know about. Maybe you've got a question or comment about one, too. Steve, before we get done at Tree, I want to play the American Idol winners' songs over the past season. Every now and then, those sort of competition shows, Dancing with the Stars, The Voice, whatever, they get it right. Sometimes they get it wrong. This year, they completely got it right. This girl is a delight. She's 19 years old, Hawkeye Community College. She's a really delightful voice. She seems like a nice young lady. She's a good singer, and I'm glad that she won. She was up against another guy, Caleb, and he was really good, too. In fact, he may have had the best pure voice, but he was very vanilla up there. The two of them, there was three of them actually in the final, and I think they all belonged there. So I was happy about that, and I think it was down to him and her, and then she won.
And I think they're dating.
And they're dating.
So how cute.
It is, but I felt like that moment was kind of forced. I mean, I'm sure they are dating, but really, how long have they been dating, right? They didn't know each other before the show began.
Yeah, but it's a long process. You go on the road together. You spend a lot of time together.
I just keep thinking years from now, they're going to look back at the video of them on stage, gazing into each other's eyes, awaiting Ryan Seacrest's fateful cry as to who wins. And they're not going to be a couple anymore. And they're going to feel kind of weird about that moment on stage.
I agree with you. I would have never done it. Even if you were dating, you just took away your win by being soppy over a boy.
And right. That's it. I mean, now it's like, it's sort of like after somebody wins the Super Bowl and then they run over and, you know, ask their girlfriend to marry them. I'm thinking, isn't it enough to win the World Series or the Super Bowl? Have that moment and then have that moment. You don't need to layer one on top of the other. I thought it took away.
I just wonder if he would have done the same if he won.
If he would have...
If he would have been like, this is my girlfriend.
Well, I think we knew before, didn't we? Before they announced who the winner was, or was it after? I didn't see it in real time, although I had seen some of it. It was after, Olive? After? Yeah.
I'm just saying, after being the winner, I don't think he would have jumped to the opportunity.
Yeah.
To be taken.
Well, we'll see how much they love each other now that he lost and she won, right? Because their lives are going to get more complicated. Hey, Phil Vitale is here. Phil, what are your thoughts about this complicated issue?
I liked it the first time I saw it when they called it the Hunger Games. Aw, they got together. It's like, okay, whatever, but it's not going to last.
Yeah. How are you, Mr. Vitale?
I'm good, thank you.
Phil is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. You can text right now or call 312-981-7200. You have a question or an observation, a critique maybe, or just a question about a restaurant in the Chicagoland area or the city of Chicago, 312-981-7200. You wrote about Santa Cielo? Cielo?
Cielo.
Cielo. What language is that? Italian?
It is Spanish. It is Spanish.
And you wrote about...
So it is Cielo. You're right the first time. I'm wrong.
Julio and Rodrigo Cano,
mm-hmm.
Who have a bunch of restaurants. You say the new restaurant they've opened up is a fine dining restaurant whose globally inspired menu contains only vestiges of the cuisine that made the brothers successful.
Right.
Props to them. And then you wrote, good heavens indeed. I didn't get it.
Oh, I should have been more clear.
Well, I'm not multilingual.
Good heavens is the translation of Santo Cielo. It's idiomatic Spanish for good heavens. Literally, it would be Saint Sky, I guess. But
tempting was it to though then put in parentheses? You know, that
probably should have actually.
No,
everybody got it.
There's two kinds of people in the world: those for whom that line goes by. That would be me. And then there's those who are multilingual, get it, and love it. They they love that they know it, and they get your point. So I wouldn't have dumbed it down for me.
And they and they like it because they know some people don't know.
Yeah, they have this air of superiority.
Whoops,
now.
I found an Easter egg.
So what's this restaurant all about?
It's all about them kind of stretching their, their culinary wings a little bit. All their previous restaurants have been kind of very casual Mexican restaurants. Toro Madre and Bien Trucha. Tacos were a big part of what they did. They made sensational tacos and continue to. But this time they signed up with a hotel, and they're doing the kind of elevated hotel dining that you might expect. And they have this wonderful property at the top floor of a of a hotel in downtown Naperville.
I'm glad that you're doing something outside the city. Or, you know, we should talk maybe more often about restaurants in Naperville.
Sure. Well, they've got an amazing restaurant scene there. A lot of them are second versions of restaurants that got established here, including Heaven on Seven. They have a store out there and things like that. But the level of support, the level of customer support for that dining scene in downtown Naperville is just astonishing. You'll spend the first 20 minutes finding a parking space in Naperville on a Saturday, Friday night, and especially when the weather's nice and people just gather along the Riverwalk and they'll have a little drink and they'll have some bites and they'll stay downtown. And yeah, it's...
So this is a good place to be, but the cuisine then is more American?
Here, yeah, they call it global. They're taking, they'll do a dish and they'll do it in a Spanish style. They've been playing with more Asian ingredients. They have, I think I said something about it, the focus is the lack of focus. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point, that you don't know what might be on the menu a month from now, because they're just going to do a pork belly with a fish sauce glaze with bok choy and Szechuan spiced vegetables. And then they have a dish called meat and potatoes, which is called actually meat and potatoes. They're just a steak and a very good potatoes on a, you know, this like multi-layer cream and butter cut.
Oh yeah, lyonnaise,
sort of like that, except this is cheesier, so it's more like a potatoes Anna, more in the French vein.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and yep.
So this is called Santa
Cielo.
Cielo, S-A-N-T-O, Santo Cielo, C-I-E-L-O, and it's at the downtown Hotel Indigo in Naperville.
Mm-hmm.
In Naperville. A glass enclosed beauty offering uninterrupted treetop vistas of the surrounding area, including glimpses of the DuPage River and in the distance, the town's Millennium Carillon.
Carillon, yeah.
Sunsets are spectacular, you're right. Boy, good for them. Good for the folks out there.
Yeah, they told me the original idea of the place as it was designed was a restaurant with a nice big outdoor patio of maybe 1,200, room for 1,200 people. And the brother said, I got an idea. How about we have space for those people all year round?
Yeah, good idea.
Instead of 4 months. So then they came up with this glassed-in concept. And somewhere in Europe, they sourced these remarkable windows that are like three-panel windows going bottom to top instead of side to side. And the top two panels can retract into the lower area. So they can make it completely open air, and then the lower third of the window is essentially the rail. But there's nothing blocking the view.
I love restaurants that are doing that. Or they open up the garage door so that a place that's
exactly.
So four season is now a three season kind of room.
Right.
What a great feature if you've got it. It's 1:47 almost. Phil Vitale is here from the Chicago Tribune. There's also something coming up called the Food Bowl. You don't mean a bowl of food. You mean an event.
An event that's going to be stretched out over a month.
Okay. I want you to talk about that. And maybe you've got a question or comment. 312-981-7200. Restaurants you want to know about or tell us about. This is WGN. A couple of texts for Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune. Phil, what's one of your favorite barbecue joints in the city?
I like Smoke Daddy a lot. I like Smoke, S-M-O-Q-U-E. Those are two of my favorites.
You've been to the new one over by Wrigley, right? Smoke Daddy?
I wrote about it, but it's just a copy of the original, so I haven't I have not stepped inside yet.
Assuming the menu is the same, though, thumbs up from you on that, though you haven't been to that location per se.
It's much bigger than the original. The original is just a little bitty thing on Division
and
Street.
And that new one is packed, by the way. And don't even think about going there the day of a Cubs game unless you want to wait for an hour, because that place is packed.
Right.
John, please ask Phil about favorite brunch establishments around Chicago. Thanks, Danny. We've talked about this before, but throw a couple names.
Yeah, we have. We've talked about brunch, and my colleagues, Grace Wong, put together a really nice brunch roundup that you can find on our website. So I'm stealing ideas from her at this point. And well, I've always liked the brunch at. good grief, it was one on my head. Shaw's Crab House. They do a Sunday brunch here and also in their Schaumburg location. I like the protein when I go for brunch. It always amazes me when there are people lining up on the wall, you know, spending all their caloric money,
Right, and they're eating the bread or the salad.
Yeah.
Get away from the potatoes.
Step away from the macaroni. What's the matter with you? There's crab legs over there. And so that's what I do. I go, and you know, at Shaw's, I can hit the shrimp, I can hit the crab legs hard, and I can get into the oysters. And that's all I need for just about any meal now that I think about it.
Speaking of protein, for a birthday, my son, we went to Joe Stone Crab this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that is on your list of Chicago restaurants or steakhouses, but we really had a nice time.
They do a really good job there, and the service is really good. And the thing, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm telling people not to dine in there, but their carry out work is so excellent. When you order a carry out, that stuff comes boxed up just perfectly. My wife starts jonesing for stone crab right when the season begins, after the summer is over, and or actually well after the summer is over. And so I usually, for a treat one night, I'll just order some stone crab there. They box it up for me. It's beautiful. And then I take it home and we indulge.
They put some cheese and spinach on an oyster on the half shell. Is that what I was eating? And boy, was that good. I've never had that before. The steaks were terrific. You would expect that. Most of the joints in town will cook you a nice steak. We just thought everything. I had the coleslaw at Joe Stone Crab. I'm a coleslaw guy. I get coleslaw wherever I go. It was really different. They could cut back a little bit on the dressing, but I will order that again, too. John, this is a funny question for you, Phil. What's a good buffet? No one in my family wants the same thing. I don't see you going to buffets. I don't even know where a buffet is anymore.
Well, I just talked about the Shaw's Crab House buffet. The buffets, they can be great. They're usually not my cup of tea. I like
Old Country. Do you like the Old Country buffet?
The Old Country. I haven't been to the Old Country buffet I'm going to say never. sure it's lovely.
I have been there. It's Abodanza. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Will you eat a lot of food that you wish you hadn't eaten? And while you'll love that food, you'll feel bad on the way to your car. I'm telling
you. That's
right.
I'd like to postpone that moment of self-loathing as long as I can. And buffets, I always feel like I'm cheating myself if I don't overeat. And I don't want to feel that way.
Has Phil been to Kinship in Evanston? Kinship. K-I-N-S-H-I-P. Kinship. Have you been to Kinship in Evanston? Okay. Put that on your list of places to go. Tell us about the Food Bowl.
The Food Bowl is something that the Tribune is sponsoring, and we are going to... It's going to be a weeks-long series of events, all food-related festival. Starts around August 8th. Right now, we are taking applications and for people who want to participate. They've done it for 2 years in a row now in L.A. with the L.A. Times. And so we're kind of glomming onto that formula here. And so we'll have some tastings. And the big event toward the end will be a long multiple night of, you know, being able to come by and drink and eat and have tasting portions of
these
street
are
food.
Events open to the public?
Yeah, most of them. Everything's going to be open to the public. There might be a fee for a lot of them, but yes.
Are they ticketed things? Like if I want to go to a tasting at a restaurant, how do I do this?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's being put together now. What we're trying to do is organize events that are more than just come to this restaurant and we're going to do a three course for you, and because you can do that anytime. We're looking for things that really speak more to the community. Tours of a neighborhood, maybe with different stops.
I would do a walking eating tour of a neighborhood.
Right, exactly.
Or a walking drinking tour of a neighborhood.
Right.
That isn't the usual beer crawl in Wrigleyville.
Right, or the River North centric, this is where all the food is kind of thing. We don't want that. But we are, and we're looking for some interesting panel discussions too that will be food related and could have a food component attached. But we're hoping for stuff a little more thoughtful. We're looking for chefs and mixologists who want to participate, and we're prepared to sponsor as many as 100 events in the 3 weeks.
Who's
that we'll be doing this.
The Chicago Tribune?
Chicago Tribune.
Okay, so this event is evolving as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for help, ideas, participants, as well as ticketed customers.
We're not talking to
You're
customers
yet.
Just yet. We're trying to figure out who wants to. We're operating under the assumption that a lot of the people in the dining community have ideas that we're not going to think of.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of trying to elicit ideas and events that they would want to participate in, rather than us coming up with an idea and saying, hey, you, how about you being
have the Chew come to town and sell tickets to that. I don't know. Okay. So whatever the ideas are, what do you want from us? How do people reach out to you with their suggestions?
Well, we're asking that we're trolling for ideas and proposals right now, who want to, you know, want to really thoughtful stuff that goes beyond just a regular old tasting. Trying to get people to apply by May 31st at chicagotribune.com/dining. You can find the story that leads to where you can talk to it, or you can call me and I'll talk to you for an hour if you want.
Chicagotribune.com/dining. Find the article there. There's a link to how you can suggest or participate at some level. And then when this 100 event thing happens in the summer, in August, you're thinking, we'll have to talk more about how us consumers can
partake. Oh, absolutely. I'm dying to talk about that.
Okay, that's chicagotribune.com/dining for that and all of the reviews from Phil Vitale. Phil, as always, thanks for coming into the studio.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's ours.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Every day.
Here's John Williams.
Saturdays, too. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. What a beautiful day. Finally, spring is here.
Lord have mercy.
And then tomorrow it'll be summer. It's going to be hotter than hell by Saturday, so you got that to look forward to. I'm WGN King John on all social media. Like me on Facebook. We've posted the bad lip syncing of Harry and Meghan's wedding and the choir and the sermon. It's really funny. I think you'll enjoy it if you haven't found it elsewhere. It's simple enough. Just go to WGN King John on Facebook. After the 2 o'clock news, 2:30 news, we'll visit with Leslie Honoré. She is the young woman who wrote that poem that Mary Schmeek wrote about in the Tribune. Watching the royal wedding, she had some strong feelings about Meghan Markle's mother, who was, of course, sitting there alone. And what she wrote was touching and surprising, so much so that Mary Schmeek, our own poet laureate in Chicago, wrote about it in the paper today. Leslie's going to come into our studio, and then we'll visit with that plaintiff, one of them, in the case Steve Bertrand's been talking about, and that is the president blocks people who are critical of him. Not many of them. It's kind of random.
Well, we all block people, don't we? Or we can.
On Twitter?
Sure.
I haven't blocked anybody.
I don't know that I have, but you can.
Sure, but I mean, there's the President of the United States who takes nothing but scorn on his Twitter page. It's stunning how hard on him it is. And yet, for some reason, a few people have been blocked, 100 or so. So they said, hey, you can't do that. That's your public servant. You're the President of the United States. We have access to what you're saying, and you should have access to what we're saying on Twitter. And a court has sided with the plaintiffs in this case. One of them is going to join us before we get done at 3. Speaking of people who have a lot to say, we have two people in our studio whose names you probably recognize. Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner are here. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Ann, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting here wearing headphones that I think were here in 1994 when Tracy and I met.
Is that when you two met?
Yep.
You are both longtime producers at this radio station. You produced for Spike Odell.
Yes.
Was it
I
just
didn't know
Spike?
If you meant for how long.
Well, no, but was it just Spike? You only produced for Spike? You didn't produce for...
No, I produced Cochran, too.
Cochran. You were Steve's producer. And what about you, Em?
I produced Bob Collins and Roy Leonard, and then came back and produced Cochran, and then the business lunch with Steve Bertrand.
Probably the highlight.
It was. And then Bob and Marianne.
No kidding. Yeah. Boy, not many people say they were able to touch that many of the shows.
Are you saying I get around?
I'm saying that you're either very good or very bad at
very
what you
bad,
do.
Very bad.
I don't mean that at all. So the two of you now have become friends, having produced here for a while, and then neither of you are working at this radio station currently, but you stayed in touch, huh?
We were in each other's weddings.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no kidding. How nice.
Yeah. And our kids are the same age.
Do you guys see each other regularly
yes.
then? Your kids
mm-hmm.
play
we
with each other?
We tip a few back sometimes in the backyard.
Me more than Tracy, let's be honest.
And so you're here because you want to promote a podcast that you guys have, which is now available at WGNradio.com or wherever you find your podcasts. You should listen for Apparently. Mm-hmm. Apparently.
That is correct.
Why do you call it that?
Okay, that one was my idea. I thought I wanted to do a podcast on parenting. Teresa wasn't even in the idea at the beginning. I was just like, I want to do something, but I'm an idiot. So how can you do a podcast without trying to sound like you're a good parent? And I was like, apparently this is going on. And then I said, I can't do this by myself. And you know, the only person I can think of to do it with is kind of my bestie. And also the other most mediocre mom I know.
Well, I mean, I have good days and bad, but yeah. But so think about it.
You guys aren't selling yourselves as the experts.
Oh, no. We're average. That's the whole premise behind it.
Right.
Like, there's no manual when you have a kid, like how to do it. No book. I mean, there's lots of books, but so I'm just kind of winging it. I have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I do say a lot when they ask me questions because I sometimes don't know how to answer them.
So is the idea then people will listen to this and maybe relate to the issues you've got, and then you what are finding experts to speak to them?
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly.
But we are the foil, if you will. Like, you know, often we are the butt of the joke because we don't know what we're doing. So we find people who can tell us what we're doing, but meanwhile, we put out all the options that are wrong. Those are the ones that we do.
We know how to do that.
Yeah, we're very good at that.
Yeah.
What's an example?
With the Fortnite?
Yeah, do that one.
So one of the episodes we've done already is Fortnite. Have you heard of Fortnite?
Mm-mm. Oh, no.
Okay, well, it's an online app game that boys play. Well, my son really wants to play.
Some girls.
Some girls, and it's Pokemon Go on steroids, okay? And my son's really grinding on me wanting to play this game, and so we brought somebody on to talk about it, and she asked us a question about, wasn't it with what to do when people contact you or try to chat you on an online game that's kind of asking a private question, like, what's your name or where do you live? And they're like, so what would you tell your son to say if that was happened to him in that situation? And I went, I don't know. What's the right thing to say here? I don't know.
I think you would say, no, don't share private or personal information.
But this woman, and it's cool, this is the episode we're releasing this week, she said, answer without a don't. She's trying to teach us to teach our children without don't.
What Which I do every do? Day. Like right. multiple
Don't do
times
that. Stop.
A day.
Put that down. No, right. no, no.
But
no.
What should you do? And so we're dumbfounded. Radio silence is a good word or two. But we had to say, you are allowed to say, if you want, your first name and that you live in America. And then you may say, that is all I want to tell you right now.
Right.
And we thought that was good. But then after that, if there's another question, the children are supposed to mute the conversation because you're not supposed to. Anyone who's going more than that, who's
one
a stranger,
and done, she said, one and done, which like kind of appropriate for all social media things. Like my kids don't have Snapchat, they don't have Instagram, they don't have any of those apps.
Your kids are how old again?
12 and 10.
And yours are
12 and 9.
12 and 9.
And also mine does have Snapchat and does have Instagram, but she only has one friend.
On social media.
And just like me.
And Anne's a city mom and I'm a 6'3" mom. Yeah, I'm out in the burbs.
Yeah, no kidding. So I guess the idea behind that Fortnite thing, you described it as Pokemon on steroids. You're running around, you're capturing coins or something like that.
No, it's actually, it's more like Minecraft meets Hunger Games. You're shooting people. You're because
it's a gun game.
But she's saying Pokemon was so popular. This is being called a tech epidemic. So
are they doing this physically though? They're out in the neighborhood running around.
No,
or doing it online?
I'm just when I said Pokemon Go, I mean that
in terms of popularity.
Correct.
Yeah. Shame
on
me for being that out of the loop. Right.
Sorry.
Okay. So
I didn't explain it well.
You let your kids play a online shooting game?
No, I don't. So apparently, my son is the only one that is not playing it because every single day he's like asking me. You know, kids, they like try to wear you down. You remember with your boys?
Oh,
come
God.
On.
Yeah.
If they like on the 100th and first time that they ask something that I'm going to just break down, and just be like, oh, fine, just get the game.
And do you worry though that that'll foster bad behavior or it's just not healthy?
Well, I think what's interesting is in this episode she tells us how to create good behavior, and also it's very funny. My kids are girls and they don't I asked them about that, and they said that Fortnite is idiotic, so that's not going to be a problem.
So lucky good, you.
Yeah, yeah, lucky.
She dodged a bullet on that one, so to speak.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
But it is pervasive. It's all over schools. It's in the lunchroom. It's, you know, that's what they talk about. So it's like being on a team, and if you're the only one who's not on the team. So I argued with Tracy that maybe she needs to think about letting Ethan play with rules.
Yeah, that's what came out of it.
Yeah, right. Are you going to do that? No.
Nope. I don't know. Well, it has to be a discussion, definitely. There's like a contract that Ethan wants to draw up and all kinds of stuff.
Really?
He'll do anything to get this game.
I hereby vow that I'll adhere by these rules and da 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 if you let me play.
I've wanted to record him and say, okay, say that again. I'm rolling tape. Because you say you're only going to play it once. Okay. But you know, that type of thing. So I can do a gotcha.
Also, part of the podcast is we talk to dads and get their points of view. So clearly we're not calling you about this one. Fortnite, not so much. But we are going to ask you to weigh in on team sports.
Oh, yeah. Well, the officiating part or the coach relationship with the players?
The Tribune article that came out a while ago.
It's hard. Boy, I think any of us who had a kid play baseball or have as a kid that's playing baseball now, you've seen these kids who are 14 years old refereeing a game. They've got that chest protector that's as big as they are. And then there's some dad,
usually,
who is overbearing about a call or some rule interpretation.
It's brutal.
The poor kid's just trying to make $9 an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
And shut up already, right?
Yeah. He's 14.
I know.
Out where I am, a ref, an ump behind the plate is 12. Can be as young as 12. In sixth grade.
Maybe part of the problem is that, right? I mean, maybe sixth graders, God bless them, but maybe they shouldn't be officials.
But maybe it's that young because they can't find people.
and besides, in that scene, if these, 40-year-old dad coaches are berating these 15-year-old umpires, the problem isn't the 15-year-old umpires.
Absolutely.
I know. I do understand that. So, again, another example. So now you're going to get somebody on to talk about that.
Yep.
The audience would be moms and dads, right?
Yeah.
That's although our own Andrea Darlis sent us a note. She said, I don't even have kids, and I liked it.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
Well, you've recorded 5 episodes. The first one is dropped. The other 4 will be released once a week, I guess. What's the drop date that you're going to be pushing these on?
We were just talking about this because we understand that you guys drop on Thursday with Mincing Rascals.
We do.
I've talked to a bunch of moms who want to hear it on Sunday nights because that's when they gather themselves together for the week.
You don't want to jump into the Mincing Rascals tailwind right there?
Yeah.
Right on your coattail?
We're catching that wind there. And I mean it. No, but we want to go ahead of you.
Because we're getting rich on our 2,000 listeners a week. Let me tell you, it's the most profitable thing I've never done.
Yes.
it's the least profitable thing I've ever done. That's what I meant to say. Okay.
So, we're just trying to cover as many topics that happen in our experiences at home. Like, we're bringing home to the episodes.
Yeah.
Things that are happening.
Well, I know you particularly, and I certainly know Anne, and I certainly know your work, and I think you are the two right personalities for this. I love the angle, right? I mean, everybody's an expert on the radio, it seems, or on the internet, but that you admit that you're not, and I know how funny the two of you are. I think that's just going to make it very listenable.
And we've been friends since 1994,
when I got these earphones.
The moldy ones that you're wearing?
Exactly.
Maybe those shouldn't make the trip across the river when we move from the Tribune Tower next month.
I see a waste paper basket right here.
We're throwing a lot of stuff away.
Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, I suppose a lot of us could do you a favor by hitting you up with topics. Like, oh, you got to do one on this.
Yes, that's already started to happen.
Yeah.
Out in my neck of the woods, people have heard the first one and said, oh, you could do this and you could
do
this.
Well, do you have a Facebook page? How would I get you a topic on that?
We just started building it, but it's there. It's apparently, but it's UH-parent-lee.
Because every other version of that was already
exactly
taken.
And also that was the URL I got too. So
No kidding, good for you.
So
okay,
that will happen one day.
No, we'll keep mentioning that on the radio, but in the meantime, start downloading, start listening to, start subscribing to Apparently, the podcast featuring Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner.
Average parents.
Average parents
trying
getting
to figure
you
it out.
Good. So is that, what's the line? What's the vibe? What's the
podcast for absolutely average parents.
That's it.
I like it. And I like you guys. All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, John.
The American Idol finalist. I wanted to feature a couple of songs from her and then one song that reminds me of another song. In fact, you know, Tracy and Ann were here talking about podcasts. What do you guys think of this as a podcast idea?
I love it.
because I do this all the time. I know you're going to love it, Steve, but don't patronize me. Let me explain it and then say that again. So I'm looking up something, and then I find myself clicking on something else, and then I find myself clicking on something else. And you find yourself often, when you're on the internet, going down a rabbit hole of amusements and ideas that are somehow one linked to another. And suddenly you're on striped zebras, and you didn't start out there at all. And that journey can be really fascinating and revealing. And so I thought I would do a podcast called The Rabbit Hole, where I start out on something, but you follow me on this journey of thoughts, musings, and links until the next thing you know, we're at this thing. And 30 minutes later, you go, wow, that was fun. Whoo, the rabbit hole.
That could work.
I like it. And you start off the podcast with saying your first idea and your last idea.
Right. Yeah.
And you're so like, you go, what do these things have in common?
I'm thinking about the royal wedding, but here I am in a chat room about pencils, and here's how I got there, right? And then blah, 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 blah. Who's coming with me on that? 1 to 10. How much do you like that idea, Steve Bertrand?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that was a 10. Kevin, sports, how much do you like my idea for a new podcast called The Rabbit Hole?
I love it, especially considering the ADD in culture these days. Like, you can go, like, you can bounce off like 30 different topics over a matter of 30 minutes.
I know, that's what we kind of do, and nothing displays that more than when you're just sitting there typing away on your computer and you go, oh, wait, what am I doing here?
No, you go to like look up somebody's bio, and the next thing you know, you're reading about World War II or something.
I know,
like that. You
know, that's it's the like, thing.
How did I end up here?
I know that. And if you're trying to produce a show and you go, okay, I need to find out about Balbo because they're going to change the name of that damn street in Chicago. So then you click onto this Wells lady and you go, wait a minute, Wells, don't we already have a Wells? And next thing you know, you're someplace else. It's crazy. Oh, that'll be a fun podcast just as soon as I do it. Thank you, Steve.
I'm sitting at a railway station, got a ticket for my destination.
This is that Maddie Poppy lady that won the
on a tour of one night stands, my suitcase
last edition of American Idol over the weekend.
And every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band.
They describe her voice as honey, but it pitches high and some of the critics are saying that she is proof that sometimes when singing, less can be more. Here she is covering Brand New Key.
Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key.
Wow.
And I think that we should get together and try them out, you see. I've been looking around a while, and you got something for me.
I love that song when it first came out, of course, but this is fun.
Don't go too fast.
Okay, so then the other night, she and the other finalist, the young man that she is dating, named Caleb Lee Hutchinson, covered Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. Dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby.
Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly in the dreams that you dream.
Sorry, I suddenly became a trio. You know, if you're dating somebody and you both sing that well, I wonder if, like, you just sit around sometimes and go, hey, why don't we just sing? We can keep our clothes on. Nobody gets in trouble, and I'll play the ukulele, and let's just sing some songs.
I don't think probably that does come up, no.
I'll bet it does. I mean, really? If you two can do something that well, wow, wouldn't you want to do that?
Let's keep our clothes on and sing, you said?
That's what I said.
Definitely.
Thank you, Aleph.
Yeah,
thank
why
you.
Wouldn't you?
Why it's, wouldn't you?
It's your number one passion.
It's what you
and
do.
You share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but passion brings out passion.
Yeah, that's right. Next thing you know, you're singing a love song, and suddenly your clothes are on the floor. Now that you mention it.
How do people play board games, then?
with their significant
people,
others.
They don't play board games, LF.
And board games are boring.
And if they do, they're not so passionately involved in Monopoly that suddenly they're ripping each other's clothes off. Although, man, hey,
that
Kevin.
Can get intense.
Why do you think they call it Boardwalk?
Board games. By the way, this is a perfect example of what happens when you go down a rabbit hole. Because now you go, oh yeah, speaking of board games, my niece and nephew the other day were playing Monopoly. They were playing electronic Monopoly.
What does that mean? Where?
Well, so instead of having cash, when you played Monopoly, you used to have 20s and 10s and 100s and so on and so forth. But now it's a credit card. You each get a credit card and you just swipe it when you're buying hotels and when they... If you owe me money now because you landed on my property, boop, you just swipe it.
Oh, that game's a couple years old then.
And the value of the properties, holy cow.
Right, there's a Bitcoin version out now.
Yeah, but there's no way to steal the money from the banker now when they go to the bathroom.
Thank you very much for that. Right, one of the things was
you just grab a couple hundos. We got to grab the 50s because those are less obvious. Where'd you get that gold $1,000 bill?
Such a big part of the game. And now it's much harder to cheat, which I'm sorry to see. One other note about Caleb and what's Poppy's first name? Maddie Poppy singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's the mashup, obviously. It's not just Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but What a Wonderful World. The original version of that that we all fell in love with was from that guy named Brother Iz. You remember him, right?
The Hawaiian.
He weighed about 600 pounds. He passed away. His health was a catastrophe. He was a ginormous, sweet-faced human being.
Ooh, someday you wish upon a star. Wake up where the clouds are far behind.
This is the best version.
Trouble melts like lemon drops. High above the chimney top, that's where you find me, oh, somewhere.
Boy, you Google that today, and you cannot stop watching the video.
But it's funny how he changed now how we hear that song, because that's now become the normal version of the song.
In my mind, it is. I don't think of the movie. I don't think of other people who've covered it over the years. I don't think of Judy Garland. I think of Brother Iz. Which is, he wasn't the first one to do that song. But those two stuck together was really, really terrific. We said that we would invite Leslie Honoree onto our show. She's the young woman who wrote that poem about the first, about Meghan Markle's mom. So Harry and Meghan get married over the weekend, and you saw her mom sitting there. And I think a lot of us had reactions to her sitting there. And the mind goes to, you know, a million different places. But she then posted on Facebook a poem, and the poem's gone viral. And she was scheduled to visit with us just now. She can't be here now, so she's going to come in on Friday, right? Friday?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. If you read Mary Schmeek's column in the Tribune today, though, you'll know what we're talking about, and I recommend that you do. She's going to join us on Friday. Kevin just strolled into the sports office a little while ago. I was overhearing our discussion about the NFL players who this season must stand during the national anthem. Team owners decided Wednesday in Atlanta. This is Roger Goodell. Can you play for us, Roger Goodell? Here's the commissioner of the NFL talking about the unanimous decision by the team owners. Stand by. You got it?
We want people to be respectful of the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel. And make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment.
The choice will be they don't have to be on the field. If they don't want to stand, they can stay in the locker room. Here's what the Players Association says. The Players Association says the vote contradicts the statements made to our player leadership about the principles, values, and patriotism of the league. Now they're trying to see if it violates the contract that they signed with the league, but it doesn't sound like the players are completely on board. Kevin, our friendship depends on your answer to this question.
Well, here's the thing. This is a perfect hot-button debate issue for the America today, right? Because it's black or white. You're going to decide this is horrible, they shouldn't tell the players they should or should not stand, or the opposite, right? But it's a complicated matter. There's three different... I've broken it down to three debates, John, okay? One, should they stand or should they kneel? Should they be allowed to decide if they want to kneel or not? Is it patriotic or not? Because that's an argument we've heard. That's an argument we've heard the president talk about. And the third debate is, should the NFL owners be able to tell the players they can or cannot stand during the national anthem? For me, do I care if they stand or not? No, I think it's great. And I do think it's patriotic if they do decide to kneel or to stand. But do I think the NFL owners should be able to tell the players that they should stand or not stand? Yeah, I do. It's their league. And if they think it's hurting their product... Yeah, the NFL has gotten almost too big for its own good. It's America's game, and it's like they're the ones deciding what's patriotic or not. If the NFL owners come together and they say, you know what, the players, this is hurting our game, it's hurting our product, we don't want them to kneel anymore, then guess what, they're not kneeling anymore.
Because they own the league, and they get to make the rules.
Right.
Yeah.
But do I think players should kneel if they want to?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I would.
I don't care. Yeah.
You know, if I was a player and I was kind of on the bubble, like, well, you know, I can see it both ways, and I'm not Colin Kaepernick. I'm not driven by this issue. So I'll bet that player stands. Now, I think that player's like, you know what? I think I'll take a knee. If not because of how black men are treated in America, but because of this stupid rule. I would protest based on the rule itself.
I would like to suggest this year that players who want to make a statement stand on one foot. Right? I mean, or stand.
So some signal, huh?
Something. Stand right on tippy toes.
You know, you could do a black fist. Do they say that's a little more,
you know, combative. Militant. But just lift one calf off the ground and you can make your statement. Then we'll have to make them pass a law
like
saying.
A bunch of storks saying, all standing there.
Right. And NFL will have to pass the rule that you've got to have 2 feet on the ground.
On the ground.
And they will,
by the way.
And then do it on your tippy toes the next year. So then you've got to have 2 heels on the ground.
I think the NFL had to take a stand.
That's kind of funny, yeah.
You know, they had to put an end to this.
No, they did not.
They did not.
Yes, they did. It was hurting their game.
You know what? That is such a load of crap. If the ratings in the NFL are down, there's a lot of reasons for it. Yeah. One of them is that all of the teams in the really big cities were lousy last year, but they don't always show the national anthem on TV.
Yeah, but it started to debate. People, whether they show it or not, people are talking about it. I'm not saying they needed to stop the kneeling. I'm saying they needed to put a stop to this whole debate, this whole argument.
Well, I thought it was going away.
I'm not saying they needed to put the hammer down about the kneeling. I'm okay with players kneeling.
1 year, put your right arm out.
Steven's still. Like, right? I see all these guys on the sidelines doing the hokey pokey.
Yeah, hokey pokey. I like that.
But the whole point
is
about
still
respecting
stand up for what you can still make a statement, but you just do it that way.
But the respecting the flag thing's ridiculous. You are respecting the flag by kneeling because that's your first.
I don't think
you're not sitting down. You're not turning your back on anyone.
By the way, forcing somebody to respect is not.
That's the part I don't like
about
this.
Garnering respect.
But at work, they make you respect things that you don't necessarily agree with.
You and Kevin are on that page.
No.
Yeah,
that's
you
not
are.
True.
You're saying they
no,
get
no,
to
no,
make
no, no,
the
no.
rules.
I agree
they own
with,
the league.
Yeah, but I agree with you to say you have to respect the flag. I didn't think Goodell should have said that. I think Goodell should have said that, look, we just wanted to come to a conclusion on this. We don't want to necessarily muzzle the players, although some will say they are. They also have, you know, committed $89 million to they call it a social justice platform that's been partnered with the players, so they're doing something. It's an impossible argument. It's one that will be debated, and you turn on ESPN, you're going to hear two guys screaming at each other about it for the next month.
Like we just did.
All right. Exactly.
It's 2:48. I'm done talking about it for now. We'll come back in a minute with one of the plaintiffs in the case. Speaking of muzzling, the president likes to mute people whose comments he does not like. One of them was on our show not that long ago. She'll join us again in a minute. What do you know? The courts have said that the president can't do that. So here is the story. Steve mentioned it a little while ago. I'm reading from TheVerge.com right now. The court has ruled today. It says the court. It wasn't the Supreme Court, was it? I know our guests will know. It is unconstitutional for public officials, including the president, to block Twitter followers who criticize them. President Trump famously has. Sometimes somebody will randomly say something that he doesn't like. Somehow or another, he gets a hold of it, and he now blocks you. You, therefore, won't be able to see his feed. You won't be able to follow the president that way. The court has said that the president cannot do that. They said that the president's account is a public forum and that everybody gets to participate. Now, one of the people that I believe is a plaintiff in the case, because she has been blocked, and she spoke to us about this when this case first started, is Rebecca Buckwalter-Poza. Rebecca is a reporter for, and I've got all of the accounts here, Politico, CNN, and Democracy Journal. Hey, Rebecca, it's John. We've got just a few minutes today, but this just went down. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
You happy about this?
I think euphoria is probably the correct description. This is a really incredible day for the plaintiffs, but mostly for the First Amendment.
You surprised?
No, I mean, I wouldn't have joined the suit if I didn't think that we were completely in the right. I am not surprised. I am just delighted.
It's a federal court ruling. Elif just whispered in my ear. Will the other side appeal?
It's unclear. You know, they could do, there are two possibilities. One is that the White House or the president just doesn't follow the court's declaration of the law, in which case we would move to try and compel compliance. And the other option is that they appeal to the Second Circuit, and we're prepared for either.
Was it that the president, because of his blocking, could not see your stuff, or was that you could not see his stuff?
Well, it's both, and it's also that we couldn't participate in any of the conversations that came from his tweets, which is, you know, this social media platform, right? Social because we engage with one another surrounding messages, and we were completely shut out of that, which also gave people who still had access the false impression that there was no criticism, and there was very little criticism or diversity in viewpoint in that forum.
You mentioned that last time we spoke, but the president's forum, as you well know, is almost exclusively critical of him. The idea that your voice would be blocked, I'm a little surprised by the ruling. I'm on your side, Rebecca, but I didn't really see how you had a case, because tens of millions of people are reading that, and he's getting a load of criticism on his Twitter feed.
Boy, I'm surprised to hear you characterize it that way, because that's not the impression I got of his forum. It seems like there are a lot of supporters, and in fact, I've already gotten my my first hate email of the day following the decision. There are
welcome back.
Plenty of people, right. That's, you know, it's a little better than the hate call I received last time. Although who knows, that could be coming.
Yeah.
But I think there's quite a bit of supportive. There's more than anything, in fact, when I was participating, before I got blocked, I ran into a lot of people who would just comment to say, well done, I agree, or, you know, those dirty liberals. So
that's funny. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go read 20 of his next comments under his Twitter post, and I'm going to score them, because it's funny how you and I read that differently. Lastly, what's the status of your account right now? Are you participating? Are you seeing and being seen?
Oh, I've got to tell you, I haven't checked yet.
Hello, come on, let's wet up.
I'll do this on the air. I mean, you know, I've got a day job too.
I follow you. Let me see if I will tell me who you are. Who's following you and who you're followed by?
Real Donald Trump. Well, I know he's not following me. Let me tell you that. nope, I am still blocked from following at Real Donald Trump and viewing at Real Donald Trump's tweets. I can learn more if I click.
Yeah, all right. But I presume somebody's going to take that phone from her, and they're going to say, Mr. President, we have to take all the people you're blocking in settings and change that. And as we speak, that has not yet happened, correct?
I mean, you know something that I don't, if you think that's how it's going to go down. I certainly hope it does.
Listen, good luck to you. Good luck to journalism. Good luck to all of us. And let's visit again. All right, Rebecca?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, nice to talk to you again. Rebecca Buckwalter Poza, Politico, CNN, Democracy Journal reporter. She's no longer supposed to be blocked. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, hi.
Hello.
Hi, John.
All right.
King John.
We have some audio that we need to share with the world. Although CNN already shared it with the world, but we should share it again with the world. The guy, the 30-year-old who is suing his parents.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They did an interview with him. Oh, my God.
It's worse than you thought.
Oh, really?
When you see him, and he talks through the quote-unquote logic of everything.
He's the kid that's living at home, and the parents want him to get out.
Right. They sued to evict him.
Their son, 30
years old. Does that sound familiar, Violetta?
Does he make me sound good?
Yeah.
Damn millennials.
Yeah.
Hey, I put in my fair share.
And now, Kevin, on the other hand, he's already done his, you know, before he turned 30.
Yeah, I got out of there well before my 30s,
yeah.
6 months ago.
Yes, exactly. he did it exactly right.
So he didn't
embarrass the family. He stole in his 20s, so he moved out of his house.
Maybe Kevin won't need that dating website anymore if he gets out of his folks' house and kind of strikes out on his own a little more. Just wondering, Kev, do you think that would help?
That could help. That could help.
Yeah, it's big time.
It's just Netflix and chill. Is that the name of it?
Without my parents' Wi-Fi password.
Dude, do you, and I like it when a guy calls a girl dude. Dude, do you have your parents' Netflix network password? Because we could use it now. How about, we got to go back in Netflix and chill.
How about Hulu?
No, how about Hulu?
All right, text
HBO?
Your mom.
Yeah, text her. Okay, cool. I'll wait.
And ask her if she's got snacks.
I can't text. I forgot to pay my cell phone bill.
My parents are teaching me a lesson.
I can only call 911.
When are you going to play the audio of this to Moke?
4:40.
And I don't mean Kevin. I mean this.
Yeah, no. This guy is something special.
All right.
And then A.B. Stoddard joins us this hour along with Ben Bradley. And coming up a little bit later on, this is really interesting. You know, you ever had Jack Daniels? Anybody ever had Jack Daniels?
Sure.
You ever had the Jack Daniels? You know, Jack Daniels is a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out Jack Daniels didn't distill Jack Daniels.
Somebody else made Jack Daniels?
The first distiller of Jack Daniels was a slave who does not get the credit for it.
And now...
There is a company that is going to bring his recipe forward.
Oh, nice.
That became Jack Daniels.
So is it a slightly different version than of...
Well, let them explain it. It's pretty interesting, though. They bought the original Jack Daniels distillery, and they got
the... Is the Carnoble wagon going to bring some of this?
No, we're going to stare at it, because we can't drink until Friday. But if it falls, if it should fall up and into our mouth, because I've seen the volcano in Hawaii. You see how that happens? Mm-hmm. Like out of nowhere, things are just popping up in the air.
Or if they put it in your coffee cup and you just didn't know that they did that.
And speak for yourself till Friday.
Yeah. Just saying, on the air, ixnay.
Okay, too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good show.